Good morning. It's time to begin our worship service this morning. A special day. Our church welcomes Brother Lane, and we're so thankfully excited for the day of the baptism. While our pastor comes this way, we'll be singing Amazing Grace. Would you please stand?
See everybody here today. I'm going to do a little different today. This service is going to be different today. We're having a baptizing here in just a little bit, and I hope you'll get to enjoy that this morning as we do our baptizing here at the church. And we're just glad to see each and every one of you here today. We hope and pray that you'll be blessed in this service. It's good to see the good crowd out, and we're looking forward to this service today. God will come in and bless us in a very great way. As I said, just in a few minutes, we're going to move back towards the back, and Brother Lane and I are going to be moving to where we can do the baptizing. We'll get to observe that here in just a few minutes. But I always like to give an opportunity for members also before that we do the baptizing. Now, we take members by experiencing baptism. What that means is we believe that a person is supposed to be saved by the grace of God first. And then you can tell about being saved, and then you can be baptized. That's experience in baptism. We take members by letter, a credit letter from churches of Life, Faith, and Order. We ask that you come, present yourself as a member. We will ask you again about your salvation. And we just like to hear people tell about being saved.
Amen.
That's proper. Tell about when God saved your soul. The other thing that we will do is by a restoration. Somebody had to be excluded from this body because of some reason, we'll say bad behavior or something like that. And the church had to exclude you from this body. You can come to this church and make your acknowledgments to you about your behavior in the past and how the Lord has forgiven you and how you're asking forgiveness from the church. You can bring that forth today in this service also. I've been blessed to see that done different times in my ministry. And it's something that is really beautiful when somebody comes back in a humble manner. And I just pray that if there's a case, and I don't know of a case like that today, but we would ask that you follow the Lord in this service. Brother Keith, while we sing another song, we want to give an opportunity for members at this time. If you would like to join Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, we would ask that you come forward at this time.
We're going to do the third verse of the same song.
All right, please.
Thank you.
Being none come forward at this time, we'll continue to sing for just a little bit. My brother Lane and myself go back and get prepared, and then we'll baptize Brother Lane, and then we'll get on with our service. Brother Lane, you want to go this way? I'll meet you on the other side.
Brother Keith, while you continue to sing.
Stay with that same song, because not one of them makes it to the last word.
It is well with my soul.
In obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I now baptize this my brother in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Ricky.
What a wonderful day. And there's something about that name. Come on. One more time. Why are we here? Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's sing it again. Come on.
Jesus.
will come and sing your song. I was thinking I'd sing another song, but it just seems like the Lord wants you to sing right now.
It's on page 44 if you'd like to follow along.
Thank you. What a blessed day this has been. Excuse the voice, but I seem to be suffering what many others that I know of have this time of year. Such a blessing to witness this service, this one of the two ordinances that this church practices, as our Lord left us to do. And I'm always reminded that the work on the heart for those who have professed faith is already done. You know, the only grace in there was the glory of God shown that what has happened in this young man's heart. One of my favorite Bible verses is Revelations 1 and 18, where the Lord appeared to John there on the island, and he saw such an apparition that he essentially fainted, and he laid his hand on him. The Lord did and said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am he that liveth. I am dead. I was he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And that's what's happened in the heart of every individual that has been saved. And so as we build up the temple, as we sing in the song and watch this glorious event here, of a young man joining the church, we're thankful for him, and we'll pray for him, and we'll pray for each other that we'll go on and do what the Lord would have us to do. I want to add my welcome to that that's already been for the visitors. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you get something from the service, and we hope that we all leave having been lifted up a little bit by the Lord, Brother Randall. That's the greatest thing we could do. We have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. So we'll move right along for the sake of time. Sorry, children, you won't get to listen to me pontificate about some sermon, but I'll give you one next week, and there's going to be a test. Okay, young kids, there'll be a test, all right? Ben, sharpen your pencil, there'll be a test next week. But we're thankful again to be here. And so one of the things that we like to do before we begin service, before we get into the worship part of today's service, is to pray. There's no greater nor exalted privilege, I believe, than we have, Brother Key, to pray. To thank the Lord every day, to ask petition on his behalf of our own needs and the needs of others. And we'll ask in just a second for any prayer requests, any word of praise, or whatever that you have on your heart. But I'll start by saying I want to ask prayers for a friend slash client of mine. And the client is, he's a road superintendent up in Ventress County, up in Jamestown. His son was in a horrible work accident last week before Thanksgiving and crushed his pelvis, just did all kind of bad things to his lower skeleton there. Almost lost his thumb, but he's going to make it, but he's got a long way to go. His name is Adam Reed, is the young man, his son's about 20 years old, I understand. So would you please pray for him? Is there anybody else that would have a prayer request at this time? Just remember those families of our congregation that cannot be here, those that are traveling, those with special needs. Let's pray for Brother Ricky, as he stands, pray for his family, pray for all of them, that they'll be comforted in their recent tragic events in the family. We just pray that the Lord will hover about and just comfort them. Miss Christy, is there anything upon your heart before we do pray? Yeah. Remember that. Just remember her brother lost his wife and the lady who's the little baby's. It has some needs, physical needs. The Lord knows what they are, and the Lord knows what's needed in every sad circumstance, and we just pray his most abundant blessing in every situation. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for my family. Thankful that everything is well with me as it is. Thankful for all of you, each one of you. Is there anything on this, anybody else's heart before we pray? Yes. Thank you, Brother Key. Let's remember that situation, and our brother Alex, who's been preaching but now has been ordained for full work. And that entire program and work that's going on down there, it's good to hear news of reports, especially of people being saved, but of the cause being advanced. Listen, people, it's on me so hard sometimes when I see the way the world is going, and God used to be up here. Most of all, you know, back when I was young. But now it seems like he's here and they want to just push him away. But people, the soul of man has not changed. The soul of man still needs Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The soul of man still needs Jesus. And people need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear the glorious gospel. God help them. in that word. Anything else before we pray? If not, everybody pray. I want everybody to pray in your own way, but I would ask Brother Rodney, you lead us in prayer, would you?
Preaching service, number 58. Number 58, what a lovely name. Come on, sing. Number 58.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Thank you, Sister Shirley. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I told some of them earlier, I was kind of like a chicken with my head cut off earlier. I was trying to bounce here, bounce there, trying to get ready, and I realized I had forgotten a thing or two. By the way, do I have my tie on straight? I enjoy being able to do a service like this. Just to let the Lord lead is the main thing that we want to do. And I don't want us here at Murfreesboro to ever get in such a hurry. I realize everybody has things they need to do on Sunday. I do. Don't get me wrong about that. I do. But I want us to follow the Lord. If we get in too big of a hurry, the Lord will not bless. I heard a message this week on a small space, and what it had to do with was this little small space up here and what we put into it. And that many times is not what God wants it to be. The matter of a fact is, most of the time that little small space right there is filled up with everything about this world. We spend 2 hours here, generally. That's what we allot for God's time. Well, we'll be here for Sunday school. That'll be about an hour between time, and then we'll get out of church in about an hour, and then we can go on and do what we want to. You're not allowing time for God. And that's what I want us to do today, is to allow time for God. We've saw something special today. We've had a young man come into this body that was excited about today. And I'm thankful he was. And I want him to continue to be excited about being a member here at Murfreesboro Church. I want him to be excited about talking about Jesus. And we talked about that in our Sunday school today. And what we talked about is how to do it, when to do it, and such as that. And one of the things that got brought out in our Sunday school today is once you do it once, if you go ahead and do it a second time, and what I'm talking about is just talking about Jesus, talking about him saving your soul, telling about how good he's been to you this week, or maybe just today, what you felt today. If you'll do it right then, when you get that urge to talk about it, the next time you talk, you know, it'll be easier. And the more regular that you do it, actually even easier to talk about the Lord. It never gets completely easy. I think the apostles at times had to struggle with it. But I believe they were willing. And that's what it takes out of us, is just being willing to take that little small space of time and use it for God. Thankful for being here this morning. Glad to have all of our visitors here today. Does anybody have a word on your heart, a word of testimony or anything before we go any further? After our preaching part of this service today, we are going to give an opportunity for everybody that's a member here to come and shake hands with Brother Lane. We extend to him the right hand of church fellowship. So at the close of the sermon today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to extend to him the right hand of church fellowship. Now, if you're not a member here at Murfreesboro, you can extend to him the right hand of Christian fellowship to him. And by this, I want us to all encourage him. And I want us to say, when we go by, you don't have to say it, but I want us to say it by us going by, that we're going to be praying for that young man, because he needs our prayers. The world's going to be after him. The devil's going to be after him. He's already experienced that to a great degree over the last month, but I want us to be praying for him. And so let's keep that in mind. Anybody else got anything on your heart? We're going to take a reading lesson today from the book of Luke, the 6th chapter. This is a verse or a couple verses here that I like to use a lot of times in my messages because it shows the power of Jesus Christ. These verses here, he makes a distinction at the end of it, and I'm not going to read all of it, but he makes a distinction with the Pharisees a little bit later in this reading that says who he is. But listen as we read verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, Jesus that is. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And that's our reading lesson this morning. Verses 18 through 20 is our reading lesson. That's with our mistakes in reading. And we just ask that you pray that the Lord will take this message and use it to his honor and glory today. You see in this these verses here how that Jesus forgave a man of his sin. How many here today can say, Jesus saved my soul? Bless your heart. I'm glad you can say that today. I can say that today. The Lord Jesus said one time to me, your sins are forgiven. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome Savior, Jesus. And he's the one that I'm going to speak about more today than I am anything else today, because today is a special day. This is a special day because it's the day that you have right now. You do not have the promise of tomorrow, and we tell the lost that all the time, but do we as saved individuals, do we act like it? I didn't get any amens. The fact of the matter is, we serve a very awesome Savior. Back, I guess it's about a year ago, the Lefebvre Quartet sang here, and they sung a song that I still remember it very well. And what it says in that song is, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Now, that song became a favorite of mine, and it's just one that I love to think about it because I like to tell people about Jesus. Today, that's kind of where we're going. I'm talking about the man who saved my soul. That first and foremost is the very thing that I want to bring to your attention today. I want you to think about the man that saved your soul. Now, in this world of sports, I hear people talk about these athletes and these coaches, and they'll talk about how that this quarterback is not what he used to be. How this coach is not doing what he should to make sure we have a winning team. And they'll bring up, well, he was so good at that point in time, he deserves a little bit of leeway, is what they'll say. But then they'll make this statement, but what has he done for me lately? What has he done for you lately is what they'll say about those coaches, those quarterbacks, those athletes. What has he done for you lately? And that's the basically the idea of this message today, because I want to tell you about my Jesus today, and I want you to take it in this manner. We're talking about Jesus as being your Savior first, but what's he done for you lately? Now, if any of you are sitting there and thinking, well, I can't think of nothing that he's done for me lately, but you better wake up and pay attention today, because I want to call some things to your remembrance today just to make you remember what he's done for you. Now, for those that are unsaved today, I want you to think about it in this way. If you're sitting there and you've not been saved, if Jesus has not forgiven you of your sins today, you can have these same promises. Because you're sitting there, you're lonesome. Lonesome? Well, I don't know that I'm lonesome. Yes, you are, because you don't have a Savior. You're maybe sitting there in a state of disbelief, sitting there in a state where that you feel like maybe everything is not just exactly right with you. You need help, and you know it. Down deep, you know it. You may be in denial, but you know that you need help today. Every one of us has been there. I was there. Everyone that's ever been saved got to a place where that they just knew they couldn't do anything right then for themselves. They could not do what they needed to be saved by the grace of God. You get to that point. But listen to these points today, and I want this to be an encouragement to you today so that you will consider trusting in the Lord. Because being saved is not just a one-time experience. Oh, yes, I believe you only get saved once. That's according to the Scripture. You only get saved one time, but the experience continues. It does. The Lord keeps working inside of you. I'm going to the 10th chapter of John today, is where we're going to take the bulk of this message from today, is the 10th chapter of John. And the first verse I'm going to look at is verse 3. In this verse, it says, to him the porter openeth. And what I should say here, he is comparing us as saved individuals to a flock of sheep. And the porter is the man that stands at the gate and guards the sheep through the night. And then the good shepherd comes and he collects his sheep and he takes them out to feed, to water, to just let them run free is what he does. Now he says, to him the porter openeth, meaning the good shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. There's two phrases here that I want you to get out of this. And you're probably thinking within yourselves, there's more than two there. We may get to them later on. But the first one that I want you to get is the fact that he calleth his sheep by name. I want you to understand something today. When the Lord saves you by his grace, he knows who you are. He knows exactly who you are. He knows you by name. He calls you out in this way. Now, this was a custom in those days, and I have to say, with many farmers today, they have their animals named. I would guarantee if you have a cat or a dog at home, you don't just call him dog and cat. You have a name for them, don't you? You personalize that animal is what you do. And by personalize, you show your ownership of that animal. I remember as my father, when I was growing up, he had milk cows and he milked every morning and he had a name for every one of them. There was Betsy, there was Daisy, there was a cow that he just called Old Girl is what he did. But he had them named and he personalized who they are. Today I want you to know you are a personal thing to Jesus. You are his person. You are the one that he died for. You are the one that he gave his life for. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit more. But the idea is, I want you to know, he doesn't stop knowing who you are. Once he saves you, you're in his family. It is a privilege to be a member of God's family, of Jesus' family. One time when Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people, Mary and her children came to be where Jesus was, and they desired to speak with Jesus. And they came to Jesus and they said, your mother and your brethren desire to speak to you. And he looked at the person, he looked about him, and he said, these are my brethren and my sisters. You are not only a named person to Jesus, but you are a brother or sister to Jesus himself. You have become part of his family. I want you to understand something today. When you're born into a family, your physical family, there's no change in who your mother and who your father is. I realize in this day and age that we have many broken families. We have men and women that's had multiple husbands and multiple wives, and children may not know who their actual physical father is, but the fact of the matter is, it never changes. There are men who step into that place, but the fact of the matter is, when you're born into the family of God, you are a brother or sister to Jesus. You have a big brother. Now, I remember my physical big brother. in my early days. Now, he passed on. He went on to be with the Lord when I was just 9. But I remember that big brother. If you were privileged to have that big brother in your life, maybe you had a big sister, oh, they may have worried the tar out of you. They may have aggravated you at times. Mine did too. But he was special to me. And you know something? I was special to him. I know that for a fact. And if you've got that experience, you've got a taste of who your big brother is, and that's Jesus. And one thing that you could always count on, yeah, he may have started a fight with you. He might have done something that just was so bad to you. But if you got in trouble, that big brother was the one that showed up to help in the time of crisis. He was the one that defended you no matter who it was. They were the ones that came to the place. And that's the way that Jesus works in our lives today. When the devil comes picking on us, when we get picked on by this world, our big brother is standing right there next to you. I want you to understand something. He's not only standing right next to you, he's got you by the hand. You may not realize it right at that moment, but he's got you by the hand, and he's going to help you through that matter. It might be a time of sorrow. It may be a great trial that you've gone through. It may be something that's got you downhearted in mind and in soul, but he's right there that if you'll ask him, he'll help you. Many times he'll help you regardless of your ask, but he's there. And notice what he said, and he leadeth them. If you'll pay attention to the Spirit of God, that man Jesus, let me tell you about him. He'll lead you if you'll pay attention to him. How many of you at times when you had that big brother that was right there's big sister and they was trying to guide you in the right way, you just did not pay attention to them? Did you? Did you always pay attention to them? They had your best interest in mind. Yes, they did. They wanted to show you where they had failed in those times. I'm going to tell you something. We've got a big brother that has never failed. But he knows the ins and outs of this world. He knew the temptations of this world. He understood all of the things that are going on in this world. All the time, even to the things that are going on now, he knew every one of them. Yet he did not sin. Oh, but Jesus was different. Yeah, he was different. But he will give you strength through those things. He'll lead you through those downhearted times if you'll pay attention. If you'll listen to him. If you'll listen to what Jesus is telling you, it'll always be the very best advice that there is. There is always the right thing to do because he's the right judge. He knows our troubles before we know our troubles. He knows our sorrows before we know our sorrows. He knows all of these things, and he tries to guide us around these things if we'll pay attention. But most of the time, what we do is, if the Lord's telling us to go this way, we're pushing back. He leadeth us in these ways. To tie this in, drop down to verse 11. He says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And truthfully, he is the good shepherd. You remember the words of the psalmist David when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We don't need another shepherd. We don't need another big brother. We need Jesus is what we do. And we need to pay attention to him. Now notice what it says. And the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Now, to continue this thought, I want you to go to verse 17 and pay attention to these verses. Because many people in this world will let you down. They will tell you, I'll go with you wherever you need me to go. I've had good friends that said, oh, I'll stick with you. Don't worry about it. I'll be right there with you. Well, when the time came up, where are you? But this shepherd, this Jesus that I'm telling you about today, he'll always be there. He'll always be there, even to the point of death. You see, let me tell you about my Jesus. He not only has the power to say you're forgiven of your sin, he can say it because of this. He took my place. You see, I deserved to die. And the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. And if there is a true penalty in this case with God, there is a true penalty for those that are sinning. And we deserved to die. But what Jesus did was he gave his life for us. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. You see, not only did Jesus die for you, laying down his life, they didn't have to make him do it. You know, I talked about big brothers and big sisters, how that they come in and they stand up for us in those times. We talk about that many times, but there's times when they just can't be there. But our Jesus is always there. Especially when it came to our sin. You see, nobody made him go to the cross. Oh, wait a minute. What about those people that was persecuting him? Those people that judged him? Those people that cried out for him to die on the cross? What about them? They made him. Back several years ago, there was a movie that came out about Jesus' life, and they got on to the guy that produced the movie, and what they said, you're causing people to think that the Jews crucified Jesus. They put him to death. And then others were saying, no, it was the Romans that put him to death. No, nobody put him to death. Jesus gave his life freely. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Whoo, he's a good one. That he just come out and he laid down his life that I might be saved. He laid down his life that you might be saved. I want you to think about that today. He freely gave his life. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus did it freely. He leadeth me by the still waters. He leadeth me in the green pastures. You see, because that he gave his life, he also sustains us after that we're saved. He gives us the things that we need. He gives us the wisdom to know how to go in and out before people. He gives us the understanding of these things. All we have to do is just pay attention to his leadership. That's what we have to do. Drop down, if you would, down to verse 27. Still, my brothers and sisters, you are his sheep. That never changes once that you've been saved by the grace of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. That goes right hand in hand with verse 3, don't it? He said, I know my sheep. You remember the parable that Jesus told about the man that had 100 sheep and one got lost? And he went out searching for him? Most of the time we put that toward the lost. Sometimes we get outside of the fold. Sometimes we get off on our own. Master, this grass looks greener over here. I'm going over there. No. I'm going anyway. You ever do that? You ever look? That message the other night on Small Box, he got all over me. He did. He said I gave up news. I don't watch a lot of news, but I watch a little. He said I gave up Cokes. Cokes is not a big deal to me. But there's a lot of things I need to give up because I know they'd be good for my work in the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. We need to pay attention to the voice of the Lord. I'm not talking about TV and news and all these other things. Yes, you do need to give up those things that just takes your mind away from Jesus. Yes, we need to give those things up. We need to put our minds upon the Lord. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he says, I give unto them eternal life. Praise the Lord. I want you to think about that today. What have you done for me lately? Have y'all heard any of this talk about this football coach down here in Nashville? Oh, he's won so much, but he's on a losing streak. Well, he was. You see what gets into my small space sometimes? What good does that do Jesus? I'm trying to do better. But they said about what has he done for us lately? Jesus done a lot when he died on the cross of Calvary, didn't he? When he came out of that grave, oh, he done a whole lot for us. But what has he done for us lately? Really think about it. What did Jesus do for you today? You got here, didn't you? Well, I'd have done that anyway. Are you sure? The Lord protected you to get here, didn't he? I've heard many of people say, well, the Lord just woke me up. A friend of mine died here a couple of weeks ago, and his brother went to the house, and he said, looked like he just went to sleep. Said the sheets wasn't even crumpled. He just went to be with the Lord. Are you sure you have that other breath? Are you sure you would have made it without God's help? Are you sure that everything would have been all right? What has he done for you lately? He gave you eternal life. That was the ultimate thing. You see, many people want to say that eternal life, it doesn't start till you die. But what does the Bible say? When that you're born into the family of God, you're born again, you're born into God's family, He gives you everlasting life that starts right then. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It doesn't mean we won't die physically. This old body's going back to the dust of the earth some of these days. But this soul, this inward man, is going to be with Jesus. Thank God for that today. I'm going to be with Jesus one day. I hear a lot of people talking about, oh, I want to go see Mama. I want to go see Daddy. I do. I want to. But I want to see Jesus. I want to glorify Him to the best of my ability. I do a lousy job of glorifying God here upon this earth. But over there, I'm going to lift up my voice and I'm going to shout the praises to Him. Over there, I may not sing too well here, but over there, I'll sing to the very best that anybody can sing. I don't have to teach anybody to sing. We'll just sing a new song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. One last point and I'll hush. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know what Jesus has done for you lately? You're in His hands. I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah. I believe it's the place where He said He engraved your name. Remember, I told you He knew you by name. He engraved your name in His hand. You know what that means? He's got you in His hands, and no man is able to take you out of His name, out of His hand. My friends, today, what has Jesus done for you lately? He's done a whole lot for me. I'll let you figure it out for yourself today. But He's done a lot for me just to hold me when I'm just as sorry as I am. When I look at what I do for Him, oh, it's little. But when I look at what He's done for me, oh, there's no comparison in that today. I'm just thankful that I can lift up the name of Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Ain't He wonderful? Ain't He good? Ain't He been good to you today? Isn't He wonderful? Oh, we're coming up on the time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Ain't He wonderful? That was His name that they said they'd call Him. Well, isn't He a great counselor? Isn't He God? Oh, that's another sermon right there. Getting into that. Thank God for our great Jesus today. Ooh, it's good. It's good for us to. It's good for us to think about what Jesus has done for us lately. We forget. I guarantee you, the oldest ones here would look back at their parents that's long gone, and they'd say, I didn't realize they'd done so much for me. They'd look at brothers or sisters that's done gone on. Maybe it's cousins. Maybe it's some other relative. Oh, I didn't realize what they did for me so many times. But I realize it now. Remember what Jesus has done for you. It's a good time for fellowship right now. It's a good time for us just to fellowship with the Lord. Brother Lane, come on up here a minute. Oh, come on. We're going to extend to him the right hand of church fellowship here today. Church voted that we give our new members a new Bible. Bless your heart, son. It's yours. While we stand and sing, everybody that feels like it. I understand because of sicknesses is about, some don't feel like coming up and shaking hands. If you don't, we understand. But everybody that would, let's come around. Let's love one another.